This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Got open lines, good chance to get through. We'll get to calls here in just a couple of more minutes. More on all the baseball with the Yankees and the Mets. The Yankees with a bad loss last night. Cole was not good at all, and they cannot beat the Rays to save their lives right now. The Mets make trades to help, but did they really make trades? It's like a tree falling in a forest kind of thing right now with the Mets and the deals they did yesterday. But, Rick, I'm curious, on a day like today, up 3-1, do you spend the day walking around on eggshells as nervous as can be?
A little anxiety. I'm going to be honest. A little anxiety.
How does that manifest itself?
I'm sitting here talking about it right now. I mean, I don't want to say anything wrong. I don't want to touch the money. I mean, do I love their chances? Yeah, I love their chances. But, I mean, you never know. I mean, stranger things have happened. So we got to take care of business. You got to do what Tampa did last night. End it. Don't give them any more hope. Put them out of their misery tonight. That's what I would like.
Okay. So assuming that, you know, well, not assuming. I'm not going to assume. I'm not going to let. I'm not
going to touch the money. Don't do it.
I'm not going to assume anything like that. But let's frame it more this way. What is going to have you most confident tonight in their ability to close this out and get it over with?
It's the way that they play. I mean, it's the calling card for the Islanders is consistency. I mean, the way that Barry Trotz has his team playing every single time, you know, they step on the ice, there may be, you know, occasional lapses where they make some mistakes, or, you know, where, you know, a team will ride the momentum for, you know, 10 minutes or whatever it ends up being. But for the most part, I mean, every time you turn on an Islanders game, you expect to see what you see. And you've been able to see that. I mean, I think since this team has come back from the restart, which helped quite a bit as far as the health and everything is concerned, I mean, they've been one of the best teams in hockey, and they're showing that.
That's the part that's the biggest surprise for me, Rico, because when we had to shut down in March, I mean, this was a team that was a fringe playoff squad, and now you're talking about them going to the Eastern Conference Finals. First time they've done that in 27 years. So, I mean, I guess what's the biggest difference between when they shut down in March and how they're playing right now?
It's health. I mean, the biggest thing for them was health. Getting Pellick back was huge. I mean, having the fourth line intact with a healthy Casey Clutterbuck and Matt Martin. I mean, there aren't many teams that your head coach trusts to put out, you know, a fourth line in huge spots. To start a period, to end a period, to kill momentum from the other team. I mean, he rolls all four. They wear you down. I mean, their forecheck has been great. They've been opportunistic. Guys have stepped up. I mean, Beauvillier's had an unbelievable playoffs. Barzell, I mean, you know what he's capable of doing. And then, you know, Pageau's been a huge addition as well. And the way that they play, I mean, some teams are just built for the postseason. I mean, we had this conversation about the Yankees, right? Like, it feels like the Yankees are built to bash their way through the regular season, and then all of a sudden, not so much in the postseason when it's, you know, it's tough to score runs. You're going up against the best rotations and everything else. The Islanders are built for playoff hockey. They were. I mean, it's the Bill Belichick motto, don't beat yourself. Which would make Dave a brutal athlete, but I mean, that's what it comes down to.
I was listening to Donnie a little bit from yesterday's show, and he said that the Islanders this year remind him of the Devils a few years ago, back when they were competing for championships. And he was saying that they kind of play that same way. Do you see those similarities or no?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people argue that the system is boring, which I couldn't disagree more with as a former goalie. I mean, I said yesterday, I'd saw off both pinky toes to play with this team. They're that sound defensively. But, I mean, that's what wins, man. I mean, we see it in every single sport. It's all about high-flying and offense and everything else. Then all of a sudden the playoffs hit, and it's about defense. Yeah, great defense gives you an opportunity every single night to win and can win you championships. And that's what you see. I mean, this team is – I'm going to use the word predictable because that's the best way to describe it. I mean, you know exactly, like, they're going to be patient. They're going to wear you down. They're going to have a third man high. They're going to play great in the defensive zone. They're going to clear pucks. They're going to make good dumps. That's what they've been able to do. And they've had the upper when teams have made mistakes, they've capitalized.
So
they get good goaltending.
So if and when they advance to the finals and they play Tampa, do they have the ability to dictate the complexion of the game and make Tampa play their style?
Yeah, I think they can. I think Tampa's one of the best teams in the NHL. I think right now it's probably Tampa and and Vegas as the two best teams in the NHL. But they can frustrate the hell out of you. I mean, I think you've seen that. I mean, you've seen that through the playoffs. I mean, Washington has tons of offense. They got frustrated. The top six for Philly's got a ton of skill, but they find themselves being frustrated. The problem is, and it becomes frustrating as a forward, especially when you watch the Islanders play and they make great dumps, and then they're in on the defensemen, and the defensemen aren't making passes. It's a nightmare for forwards because they can't come out of the zone with any speed, so they just end up chasing around the entire shift. It's like we don't have control of the puck, so I'm chasing their D, and then they dump it back, so now I'm skating back into the defensive zone. And they don't get to do what they like to do, which is play in the offensive zone. So that can frustrate you. There aren't as many teams that are willing to be as patient as the Islanders are. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, skill-wise, talent-wise, I think Tampa would have the advantage. But system-wise, I mean, there aren't a lot of teams in the NHL that stay as true to their system as the Islanders do. There isn't.
It's crazy to think that just in a couple of years they were able to get to this point after losing Tavares in free agency, and now you're talking about the turnover and adding Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello, and it's just kind of like it feels like it almost happened overnight. Like they were able to get to this point relatively quickly. I mean, you got to say they're ahead of schedule, no?
Yeah, Snowy did a good job. I mean, Gar Snow did a great job of identifying talent and drafting well. I mean, they had plenty of talent. But, I mean, Lou came in and he set the culture in the building, and not just the building. I mean, practice facility, everything else. Like, Lou, like, people are scared of Lou. Like, you're making sure you're doing everything you need to do. And that's everybody. And that trickles down. And then, on top of it, you get a Stanley Cup winning coach that's really good at what he does. He knows how to use the talent, create a system that gets the best out of the talent. Could you imagine? I mean, we're sitting here talking about this team being in the Eastern Conference Finals. Fingers crossed if they take care of business, mm-hmm. which I expect them to. I mean, could you imagine if Panarin made the decision to sign with the Islanders instead of the Rangers? I mean, you'd be talking about a team that could win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, because now you got that firepower offensively. You got a guy that can create for himself and for everybody else. Like, that would have been
huge. The only thing you're missing. I mean, really, that's the only. I mean, that's the one kind of piece that you're missing. I mean, up the middle, you're set with your center position. I mean, could you imagine if you had someone dynamic like that on Barzell's line?
Oh. Yeah, forget about it.
One thing I will say here, I mean, pinky toes, that's not a sacrifice.
Well, what do you want? Tell me.
How about the big toes?
I think I might need the big toes, though. Well, I don't want to affect my play.
I mean, your words are empty, then, if you're talking about the pinky toes, because you don't need them.
Yeah, but what good is it? What good am I in net? The whole point is I'm willing to sacrifice what it takes to get in the net. If I can't stay in the net because I can't skate because I have no big toes, what good is that?
That's a great point.
You know what I'm saying?
That's an outstanding point, Carlin.
I only need, at this point, I don't need either of them. I would give you those. I'd give you the junk, the underneath of the junk, the berries. I'm keeping the twig, but I'd give you the berries. You could have both of them.
I'll pass this.
I mean, what else do you want? Pinky
Ooh, that's
toes?
That's commitment. Now, if you're willing to go to those lengths, that is commitment.
That's what I'm talking about.
Who am I to question you? If you're willing to sacrifice that, who am I to say any different?
I mean, you can't skate without two big toes? You can't?
I don't think so. I think that's going to affect my ability to actually, like, my balance and everything
else. You should be leaving a crease anyway, okay? Let's not get nuts.
Oh, yeah, I'm not the size of you. I do have to skate a little bit.
Wow.
We all of a sudden, we got to be athletic. It's not acceptable to be Goldberg anymore.
Goldberg the goalie?
Yeah.
That movie does not really hold up. I'm going to be honest.
No, it does not.
I watched that with Miley the other day. It does not hold up well.
Not well.
You got people with the equipment's wrong. Oh, and then by the way, too, this is, again, I mean, to add insult to injury to my night last night. Here's the other thing, too. You whiny Yankees fans. At least Cole struggles after you won 3 straight. I have my ace on the mound, and now it's 4 straight losses.
Well, I mean, you do get the Orioles.
Oh, great.
But here's what I don't understand. Why are we viewing the Yankees through the Mets lenses? Like, why are we placing those type of expectations on them?
You know what I'm saying? Well, just because it's always been.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the part of it that I don't get. Like, we're expecting to compete for a championship. Mets fans are just happy if their team gets in the postseason.
I think the reason you can look at them similarly is because what your lineup looks like now with all the injuries. And the fact that we lost that lineup makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Disgust me more. And then I make the mistake. You figure, child number 3, you'd have this all under wraps, like you wouldn't make these kind of ridiculous mistakes, is I'm changing the baby last night, and I take the diaper off to go for the wipes, not realizing that, you know, with a boy, you kind of need to cover up that area.
Address
because
the sprinkler
forbid,
system?
Yeah. This wasn't even a sprinkler, dude. This was a super soaker. This thing went over the changing table, like up all over the couch. It's like a fire hose.
The kid's a week and a half old.
Congratulations on the name, though, Rico. Congratulations on naming the Bambino. I like
yeah,
it.
That
you
is
went
a,
with Rocco.
That's a Chris Candy production right there.
You
like it.
Went with Rocco. All these O's now. We got Rico, we got Milo, and we got Rocco.
Yeah, he's
a
beast,
too. Orioles hat.
He's a beast.
Although I don't think Doc would like that.
No, but this is my house is going to be in turmoil, too, speaking of the Islanders. Because Doc is down in Tampa. He loves him some Lightning. Now, all of a sudden, it's going to be Tampa Islanders potentially in the Eastern Conference Finals. Oof.
That's a problem.
A house
That's
divided.
A huge problem. Huge problem. And I got Milo playing both sides. He FaceTimes Nana and Grandpa, and he's, let's go Tampa. And then in front of me, he's, let's go Islanders.
Wow. Well, I'll tell
that
you
kid,
what.
That kid's no fool. He knows exactly
no
what
fool,
he's doing.
And he'll succeed in business.
Play it down the middle. Play it down the middle. Play
Absolutely.
Both sides.
Absolutely.
But you got to think, though, Rico, the guys on the Islanders, man, they got to have a lot of confidence going into that series just because, you know, you got somebody that's been there and done that in Barry Trotz, man. Like you were talking about how they buy into the system and they play defense pretty much better than anyone since they got to the bubble. Like, you just feel like they're all in terms of, you know, trying to see where this thing can go. Like, they have that confidence that there's no one that they can't beat.
I don't know how you couldn't at this point. I mean, the results are there. I mean, it's the same thing Joe Judge is going to be facing. I mean, you're more likely to buy into Barry Trotz selling it because of the track record. He just want to, I mean, if you can get Alexander Ovechkin, who will go down as probably the greatest goal scorer in the history of the sport, if you get him to buy in and then you win a championship, I mean, how's anyone else not going to buy in? So you have that. And it's something that Joe Judge is going to struggle with at the beginning, trying to get guys to buy into what he's selling. And if you have success and if you win, I mean, guys are more likely to buy into it.
All right, let's hit a couple calls. We got open lines right now, 800-919-3776. Dennis in Huntington next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Before I get to my point, I think it's time that we retire Andy from Merritt. His questions are not that great anymore. I think he's running out of questions.
I think he's jumping the gun, but... I would say, and I'm certainly not part of this decision process as the guy that's just,
today man, was not. He's always good for one a week.
Questions.
Well, listen, he's always good
day.
For one a week.
Yeah, he had an off day. Relax on the retire Andy, though. He's been great.
All right.
Well, it's a self-confidence thing. It's a self-confidence thing for Dave. That's why we keep it in the show.
Oh, so it's a maintenance thing.
Yeah, kind of like how the Yankees look at the Mets, right? We need a confidence booster. We have a couple doubleheaders against the Mets.
Wow!
See, this is why we don't like Mets. This is why Mets fans don't like Yankees fans.
You don't think
man,
that's
we needed you to be the slump buster. We lost seven straight. We had to
Barely.
Figure out a way out of it.
You guys paid something was going on with Tantas throwing that ball over the backstop. Come on,
he threw it into Kay's lap for Pete's sake.
Hey, Dylan, help us out here.
And by the way, somehow the caller just dropped out altogether. Just that was the point he wanted to make. Retire Andy, and that's it. See you later.
Yeah, I like Andy. He's always good for one a week where he just decides that he wants to just embarrass us. And that was
Take
today.
It off the rails and, yeah.
No, that
and
was today.
Speaking of embarrassing, how about Giannis going 4-12 from the free throw line last night?
Ugh. Giannis late in the game, not great.
Not at all.
Yeah, but his teammates have to help him out.
Giannis is less than Jimmy Butler when it comes to late game theatrics. Yeah.
Jimmy Butler looks like
27 in the second half last night.
Jimmy Butler looks like... Like, if they were doing, like, an E! True Hollywood story, like, where is he now? Like, he looks like a homeless version of Jimmy Butler right now.
He ain't had an edge up in months, right?
And
Jimmy doesn't care about that,
struck.
Though, Rico. That's why I love Jimmy Butler. He doesn't care about none of that. Jimmy Butler just wants to go out there and win. And I told y'all about the Miami Heat. I told y'all 3 weeks ago about the Miami Heat, man. That is absolutely a team out of the East that can go to the NBA Finals. 100%.
They look like
I don't think
I mean,
we disagreed with
tremendous.
You. I don't think we disagreed with you. I mean, the thing with the Bucks too is, and this isn't the first time they've lost the game one, is you realize that they're going to do their best to make sure you shut down Giannis, and he's got to find a way to figure it out. Especially, I mean, that's he only took 12 shots. He was brutal from the free throw line. But I mean, could you get some help from your guys in the second half? I mean, Middleton scored 7 points in the second half.
Yeah,
and Lopez had five.
He was a ghost, and he had a great first half. He had 21 in the first half.
Yeah, he was great. But I mean, the second half, I mean, I'm going to need you to show up.
Yeah, he disappeared.
But haven't we already seen that Chris Middleton in that dude? Like, we keep talking about 1-2 punches and duos in the postseason. Chris Middleton is not that 1B to Giannis's 1A. He's just not.
You know who is that dude? How about Chris Paul last night?
No. Oh.
Chris Paul was unbelievable down the stretch of that game last night. Now, look, I know it's something that's been out there. I still wouldn't do it if I were the Knicks. There were rumors earlier this offseason that maybe they'd try to go and trade for Chris Paul. I still wouldn't do that. But, oh, my Lord, in taking over that game, he was absolutely phenomenal last night.
Yeah, down the stretch. I mean, he was clutch, especially in that fourth quarter. I mean, that's what he's done. I mean, that's what he's done for this OKC team, though. No one expected, you know, once they got rid of Russ, everyone expected this team to be a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually surprised Chris Paul wasn't getting more conversation for MVP this season with what he's been able to do. He doesn't have great, I mean, his numbers aren't crazy good, but as far as the leadership and getting the best out of, you know, the young guys around him, I mean, Schroeder had an unbelievable season, right?
And you're right, man. Nobody expected OKC to be a top five team in the West. Nobody. And if they tell you that, they're lying. There's no way that they thought that.
Yeah.
No way.
No, there's no chance.
If you're the Rockets, you can't let this series get to a game seven. I mean, I know that's where we find ourselves now. But, like, I just don't – even with Russell Westbrook being hurt, like, I don't understand how they let this series get to this point. Because anything can happen in a game seven. And the way that CP3 played in the final 5 minutes of that game, I think he scored 8 of their last 12 points. Like, I just – with a young team – When they start playing with confidence, especially in the postseason, that's something that you got to worry about.
And Westbrook turned into Betances last night because they basically both threw it in the same place.
Oh,
my God. Terrible down the stretch. And not only that, I mean, how do they not get Harden the ball? I don't understand how that
happens. That's apparently, I mean, you can choose to believe or not.
Yeah.
But, I mean, D'Antoni said after the game, that was the play that both of those guys wanted. Like, that's a play that they both like. Whereas that Russ would take it up and then the ball would end up in James's hands, except it didn't.
How about I just put the ball in James's hands? Let's not put any suspense or drama to it. Let's just give James the ball.
Yeah,
I don't want the guy that has the ball at the end of the game not to be able to shoot. Russell Westbrook can't shoot. I don't want him to have the ball.
That's a great point. Here's the one thing and why. Here's why I agree with you though, is because even when. Like, and we've seen this plenty with Harden, right? If the ball's not in his hands, he does a lot of standing around. Like, he's not Steph Curry. Like, there's not a lot of movement away from the ball.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would just rather, you're right, just guarantee that the ball is in his hands as opposed to me hoping that he finds a way to get himself open. You know what I mean? Like, we'll actually do the work to get himself open. Like, he doesn't exert much energy off the ball, is my point.
Agreed.
Which drives me crazy. Because, he hasn't improved defensively, but, I mean, when he doesn't have the ball in his hands on the offensive side of the floor, it's like he's just standing around watching.
800-919-3776.
Yeah, but when he has the ball in his hands, though.
Oh, there's no one better.
I'm telling you, man.
If you had, honest to God, if you tell me right now, if there was one person, like a substantial amount of money that you needed to score one bucket, it would have to be him, no?
Yeah, James Harden is pretty ice cold. I mean, the last 3 years, I don't know that there's been anybody better one-on-one than James Harden.
He's going to get fouled at the very least.
Yeah. James.
Yeah, at the very least, he's getting to the line.
Yeah, he's cracked the code. Like, it's hard to have one person stop him when he has the ball in his hands.
And, you know, look, he's got the incredible weapons to either drive or, I think, one of the best step-back threes I've ever seen.
No question about it. Question about it. And one of the best pick and roll players in the game today.
Yep. I would say, this is my jam.
I would prefer you not use that.
Yeah. No, it's dead. It is dead to me, but, you know, I did love that song. 800-919-3776.
I mean, the way...
There's nothing wrong with loving the song, but you just can't say, you can't use that phrase as you saying that you love that song.
Okay.
Especially at your size. I mean, when you say something like that, I was going to ask grape or strawberry, like which kind of jam?
Well, first of all, there's no such thing as strawberry jam, okay? Strawberry doesn't exist. And when you put it next to grape, it's, you know. It's these people who try to tell me that peanut butter and jelly, you go peanut butter and strawberry. I mean, come on. What are we doing?
Why can't you go peanut butter and strawberry? You can go peanut butter and raspberry.
That's not peanut butter and jelly. That's peanut butter and something else. Peanut butter and jelly is peanut butter and grape jelly. That's why they put it in those things together. In the, you know, the Smuckers, they put them together in that tube or in the, you know, in the jar. They sell them together.
Because you're lazy.
Peanut butter and grape jelly.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to pick that hill to die on with the PB&J, whether it's strawberries or whether it's grape. It doesn't really much matter. I think it still works.
I'm just not a good fit for this show. 800-919-3776.
Well, you don't have an open mind. I mean, you don't have an open mind. When it comes to food, it's your way or the highway.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I do have an open mind about some food things, but when it comes to certain things, then yes, it is my way or the highway.
What if I don't like grape jelly?
Well, that's your problem.
Does it have to be smooth, you know, smooth and creamy peanut butter, or can it be chunky peanut butter? What is it?
It's creamy peanut butter.
Creamy peanut butter.
Not a chunky peanut butter guy. I'm very open-minded when it comes to the bread. Could be wheat bread if I'm trying to keep it healthy.
Yeah, see, I disagree. Now we're in disagreement.
Tell about it, Rico.
The bread is vital to the sandwich. I mean, the bread is vital to the sandwich. I mean, that's the vessel that you're getting that peanut butter in your face with.
Okay. So it has to be white bread for you?
When you give me a nice peanut butter, and I don't care what the jelly is. Could be grape, could be strawberry, could be raspberry. More importantly, you give me that between two beautiful slices of Wonder Bread.
Ooh. Slightly toasted.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Just melt. You don't have to chew it. Just melts right in your mouth.
Yeah. See, I'm not even a Wonder Bread guy. I would take more issue with that than I would take issue with, white wheat or rye.
Putting peanut butter and jelly on a piece of rye.
Yeah, I'm about to say what.
I would tell you to try it. Where talking about being at? Open-minded. I've done it. It's
Carlin,
great.
Where they do that at? Where do they do that? On rye? When,
it's called Any Port in a Storm, okay? And it turns out you've discovered things when, you know, you're really in some trouble and that's all you got to work with. Turns out, kind of a delight.
Yeah, no one wants a peanut butter and jelly Reuben. Stop it. It's white bread. Let's forget it.
That's not bad. Peanut butter and jelly Reuben, that's not bad.
White or wheat? Stop with the, I mean,
yeah,
it's I mean, the I would rye. Prefer it's white bread, but I can make it work with wheat.
Well, yeah, you can make it work. I mean, you could drive a car with a flat tire. That don't mean it's ideal. That don't mean it's your preference.
Well,
you can make it work.
But I could drive a car with a flat tire, but I cannot eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that has strawberry jelly. It just...
And I cannot eat a PB&J on rye bread. I just can't do it.
Well, I mean, you know...
You're missing the most... Here's Chris and I's point. You're missing, if we're power ranking the importance of each element of the sandwich... Peanut butter is number one. You got to have the right kind of peanut butter.
Yes. Of course.
Bread is number two. I don't even need the jelly. Just give me a peanut butter and bread. The jelly is, of the three, is the least important in the sandwich.
Yeah, the jelly's like an accoutrement.
No. No, the jelly is not parsley on the side of the plate. I mean, let's not turn it into something it's not.
No, I'm just saying the jelly is like the jelly is the icing on top of it. But I mean, the jelly is not what makes it. It's the peanut butter. It's the bread. Then it's the jelly. If you're power ranking the importance of the three elements, yeah, I absolutely think jelly is third.
It's the sweet element of the salty sweet that we all love. The umami in your mouth.
Yeah,
highlight how good the peanut butter and the bread is, really is what it is.
Okay, well, if I'm going to have peanut butter, I don't like a plain peanut butter sandwich. I might have peanut butter on some toast. That would work.
Yeah,
like
peanut
that.
Butter on some toast. Maybe some peanut butter with some honey and bananas. Maybe you're a fluffernutter guy.
No.
Maybe you like the peanut butter and fluff.
Don't love fluff. Don't like fluff at all.
Some people like peanut butter and bacon sandwiches.
Never had that, but I would try. I would absolutely try that. Strawberry jam, I mean, you're...
But if
you're
the three, of the three, if you were going to say, okay, I'm going to need the best of two of the three. Give me the best bread and the best peanut butter. I don't necessarily need the best jam or jelly.
I would agree with that.
Okay, well, that's fair. That's a different discussion because I don't discern between the quality of the jelly like I would with the peanut butter. Like, there's only Jif. I'm not going Skippy.
See, I don't think you're ready for this jelly. I don't think you're ready for it.
I can't Skippy, Carlin. I'm with you on the Jif.
Can't.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I can't.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I do like Jif. I'm gonna be honest. I do like the Jif. Yeah.
Jif is good.
Jif is delicious. Really good. My wife makes delicious peanut butter pancake.
Yeah,
Okay. Well, I'm glad we could bring this together and end on a positive
note. Yeah, but you're out of your mind with the rye bread, though. Out of your
mind.
Why
do you got to go back to it?
Well, because it's so ridiculous.
Have you tried it?
Who has a PB&J on rye bread? No, because I have good sense.
No, it's not awful. It's actually pretty good. I don't do it as a course of habit. I don't go and buy rye bread because I'm going to go say, hey, let me have some peanut butter and jelly. But what I'm saying is, and if you're going to make me rank the breads, it's not a distant third. It's third. It's not a distant third.
No, okay. All right. Okay.
I'm taking a handful of different kind of bagels before I'm taking rye bread.
It's an absolutely ridiculous idea. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, we're wagons because we don't necessarily need grape jelly, but you're not when you use rye bread.
I didn't call you wagons. You're lost about it, but I didn't call you wagons.
Right.
No. And the other thing, too, is, look, how did that happen? How did the rye bread happen? It happened because I didn't have any of the other two. So I went and tried something to try to make something work, and turns out, not bad. You never discovered something that worked for you just out of pure necessity and accident. It was serendipitous.
Yeah, see, I don't need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich as much as you do. If there's no white or wheat, I'm not even gonna.
Yeah, it's not even an option. Like, it doesn't even come to your mind.
Maybe a piece of rye toast. Like, if you want to do like one piece of rye toast with maybe a smear of peanut butter, I could do that. But
that's excellent.
I ain't having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on rye.
I
go to crackers instead. Give me some crackers, and I'll put some peanut butter and jelly on those things.
The crackers better be Ritz crackers. Don't bother.
Oh, delicious. Oh, the Ritz cracker. You ever have a piece of baked fish with the Ritz crackers on top, like the butter and the Ritz crackers baked on top? Oh.
I'm allergic to fish. I don't hate fish, but I'm allergic.
I don't understand townhouse cracker people.
They shouldn't just be allowed, period.
No, I know. There's something really wrong with it. Like, I don't understand it. Like, when my parents go to the grocery store and they skip over the Ritz crackers to buy the townhouse crackers, I'm just like, what are y'all doing? Like, what is it? I don't understand it. Clearly, Ritz is a better cracker.
I wish I had any kind of a counter argument, but there is no counter argument. Ritz cracker is the best cracker there is, period.
Yeah.
And there's no discussion.
Yeah, Canty, I mean, that's on you, though. I mean, you're going to have a sit-down with your parents, or you're going to have to just...
I've tried to have an intervention. It doesn't work. We've tried it at the grocery store. We've tried it at home once we get back from the store. They don't want to hear any parts of it, man. They are townhouse people, and you can't tell them different.
Like,
I've even gone as far as to throw them away a perfectly good box of townhouse crackers. They're going to go back to the store the next day and buy another box. They'll do it. That's who they are. I don't understand.
That's commitment. That is commitment. I will say that.
I don't understand the saltine people either.
Wow, man. I just got a tweet. PB&J on rye is awesome. Don't
really?
Yuck someone
Somebody's
else's
back
yum.
In Carlin. Okay.
See? I mean,
I wouldn't even think to try that.
If
rye was the only option, I'm not making a peanut butter and jelly. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, that's like trying skydiving with no parachute. I'm just not going to do it. So, yeah, I wouldn't think of trying a PB&J on rye bread.
So you just compared dropping from 5,000 feet without a parachute and dying that way, not compared, but you preferred that to maybe potentially having a peanut butter jelly and rye.
What I am saying is I've given just about the same amount of thought to both of them.
Wow.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
I
don't know, Carlin. I don't know about you.
You know, and here's the other thing that and Chris, I get it with you a little bit, okay? But you're also 6'8". Why is it that I so readily defer to you when it comes to opinions regarding athletes and everything they should be doing, yet you do not share that same respect back when it's clear I know what I'm talking about?
Are you asking me that question?
I'm asking both of you that question.
Well, listen, I don't care. Your size should not dictate, how much I should trust what you put in your mouth. No chance.
What does that even mean?
I said, listen, what was that tweet? Like, what is your number? Like, things you haven't tried. I mean, you barely tried anything on that list.
No, it wasn't what you haven't tried. It's what wouldn't you eat?
Yeah, which is, you would eat barely nothing.
That was not true. The number was an alarming number. It was like 28. But the majority of the things on there were either fish, which I'm allergic to, or vegetables, which I may as well be allergic to. I get my greens through a chocolate shake, like every other American should.
He's got a firm no vegetable policy.
Wow. Here's what we need to do. You got to give
you
me,
see
give
the
me
bouncer at the door when the vegetable tries to get in.
Give me what your bet. Give me what your expertise in food is, and then I will just, for the record, now anytime I have a question about those certain things, I will just lean on you for the answer.
Well, you know, the fast food thing is not even close. Of course, it's that, but you could really, you could take it anything. You could take it to Italian food, and I'd be there with you. You could take it to. You know what? I'm not a big Chinese food guy. I like it, but I don't love it. But I wouldn't call myself an expert in it.
Okay.
But I'll try anything. I'll absolutely try anything.
So when it comes to Italian cuisine or American fare, you're an expert in all those things?
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay. All right.
100%.
Good to know.
French food.
So you like the Olive Garden of food critics is what you like.
You know what? You know, do the last 20 minutes yourself. How dare you? How dare you, sir? Oh, my Lord.
Eating good in the neighborhood with Carlin.
A few years ago, my brother Jim, who went to Fordham for a couple of years and knew every place in New York City, he moved out to Iowa. And I was going out to play for Rutgers, Nebraska game. He's like, come, we'll go out to dinner. I know this amazing Italian place, best you've ever had. And I'm thinking, we're in Iowa. Jim, we grew up in New Jersey. This can't be. He's like, trust me, trust me. It was a chain buffet. And I had a slice of cold pizza, about four bites. And I looked at him, and his family's there. And I looked at him, and I said, I can't do this. And I walked out. I can't do this. Like, what happened to you? How can you do it? I went and waited for him in the parking lot. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Oh, well, that's an extreme circumstance, though. I mean, that's what happened to your brother is the guy. I mean, that's the question you need to be asking.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of questions there. All right. I wanted to end this well. Now that just brings back trauma more than anything else. DCR on 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. Dennis called back in Huntington. Dennis, what's going on, bud?
Only you, Carlin, can turn a sports show into a Food Network review show about
people. Well, that's not true. Listen, DiPietro does it all the time, but he's a fat guy wannabe.
But I didn't call in about that guy, Andy. I wanted to get actual sports talk going on here.
How about we do
so
that?
Yesterday, the Yankees, I thought, were in on Clevinger, but the Padres come in out of nowhere and basically hand them their farm system for a guy they're going to have for, what, 20 games?
Well, they also made he's under control next year, I believe.
Yeah, he's under control next year.
Yeah.
How come the Yankees didn't go for him? I don't get it. I mean, we're going to lose Paxton.
Well, you heard Cashman and Dennis, thanks for the call. I mean, you heard what the reason was, that they wanted to give up too much, or they wanted too much in return for him. You know, Davy Garcia and Frazier and, what's his name, and Schmidt, potentially, in a deal like that. You're not going to do that.
No, there was no chance. There was no chance. I mean, the price was too high. What the Padres gave up. I mean, that's a substantial amount of prospects. And they, but they're flush with prospects, man. They still have to, I mean, there are, you know, 40-man rotation decisions they have to make. I mean, that they clearly, I mean, their GM feels like, okay, the time is now to try to make a push with how well our team is playing to actually, you know, make a run to at least get to the playoffs and then see what happens after that.
Chris, I don't see from a Yankee perspective why you would think about doing that with Clevinger.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Now, to that caller's point, Clevinger is under control for the next 2 years, so through 2022. But, I mean, I just – if you're the Yankees, I mean, you do need some help, and it would be nice to have another option for a guy that could make a postseason start, but not at the price that the Padres paid. Like, there's no way I'm giving up that amount of prospects for that guy.
All right,
no
let's
way.
Squeeze in John in Manhattan real quick. John, what's up? John A.
Hey, how you doing, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds, John.
Just real quick, Rick and Chris, you know, Garrett Cole, I'm very confident. I have no worries at all. But when he's talking about tweaking his mechanics, what do you guys feel it's, I don't want to use the word easier to overcome. Is it an injury, like Judge being injury prone, or is it some kind of mechanical that you can, like a Sanchez or a Garrett Cole? If you guys could just give me your opinion on what you think is the better thing to overcome, if there is one.
I think mechanics. I mean, pitchers are always tweaking their mechanics.
Yeah, mechanics over injury, for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
It's not even a question.
Yeah, you take that all the time. And look, it doesn't even sound like with Cole that it's anything mechanical from the way they were talking last night. It seems like everything is running pretty smoothly when it comes to that stuff. And also, he's feeling really good. And that was what ticked him off the most, is that they seemed extra ready for what he was throwing them, and there's no question they loaded up on the fastball. All right, that does it for us. Up next, you got Bart and Hahn, and then, of course, Greeny, followed by Max Kellerman, then the Michael Kay Show, all here on 98.7 ESPN. Islanders hockey tonight, trying to wrap it up as well. Great job by Brian Munguia. Great job by Ray Santiago. We will see you tomorrow morning, 8:55. Bart and Hahn next, 98.7 ESPN. Rule 76, boys.
No excuses. Play like a champion.
Rule 77. Don't freaking forget it, Carlin.
It's DiPietro, Canty, Carlin, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.